It's good to be with you guys, man. I believe we're gonna definitely see the Lord this morning, but I think something more than that. What Barry picked up is like, I want the Lord to see us this morning. I want Him to feel us. I want Him when we walked out. It can't even be like I was skateboarding here this morning. Okay, that's another new one for coming to church at 12. Okay, but I was coming here this morning and I said to the Lord, I'm even okay this morning if we don't encounter you, but if you felt love this morning, that's a win. That's a win, because that's what it's about. Yeah? And it's been great to see what God has been doing in us lately. Over just the past couple of weeks, I think, who's here for the first time? There are some guys, you guys are back for the first time here, nah? Or you've been here before, second time, okay. Tony and Matsubatsu, you guys are back for the first time. It's so good to have you, man. And Auntie June, and yeah, man, really, I dig it. It's so good, like Boris said, But it's so good to see that the whole church can start meeting again. And it's been incredible to see what the Lord has been doing in us over the last 2 weeks, like really rallying us together. And I think it's beautiful to see how the church is standing. And I want to encourage us with this, not necessarily in Melkbos, but I think here as well. But Josh, and globally, our numbers are actually our attendance numbers are actually more than what it used to be before COVID. It's funny, né? Like, I bless God for that. That we can be a church that can shine now, and that people can run to us, and run to the Lord. But that they see Him with us, and that they can find salvation. So, Vinnie, can I nog so 'n bietjie kry asseblief? Ek het praat baie hard. Thanks, man. Hey, Guillaume Juicy, I don't want to shout at you guys this morning. All right. But just in my preparation for this week, I felt the Lord lead me to read Revelation 2. Charas, ek het nie vir jou scriptures gegee nie, né? Thanks, man. Okay. But I'm going to read it. If it's up there, it's up there. If it's not, it's not. But Revelation 2, I felt the Lord take me there from verse 2. It says, I know your deeds. And so this is Jesus speaking to a church, all right? So it says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. That's a good thing to hear, right? I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, and that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and you have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and you've not grown weary. And it's such a good thing to hear Jesus saying to a church. Eh? It's like, I know how you're working hard. I know how you're striving. I know how you're persevering in hard times. And I felt the Lord speak to us. It's like, almost like, who was it in this congregation a while ago? Flip, I can't remember. Or in this group. But someone came up and she was a new lady that joined us. And she said, I just want to tell you that God is saying to you guys, well done, and that you're shining. And it's like, man, it did something to my heart. That is like, and I think for us as a church, like, the Lord is saying, well done for persevering. Well done for standing strong. Well done for enduring. Okay? But then verse 4, it says this. Yet, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. What does it say in this translation? But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. How heavy is that? So it goes from this great, man, you guys are doing well in so many areas, okay? Your church, you decided that you're going to worship when you're not allowed to worship, okay? You decided that you're going to do kids' church when it's not allowed yet. You decided that you looked how the state is intervening and that you need to obey God rather than men. Well done, okay? And it's God commending the church, and He says, but it's not just it mustn't just be for the right reasons. Guys, have you forgotten about how we loved one another in the beginning? And then He actually says, consider how far you've drifted. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come and I will remove your lampstand from its place. That's a heavy word, okay? But I have this in your favor, that you hate the practice of the Nicolaitans. Okay, now I'm going to try and read about that. They've done a whole bunch of bad stuff, and He also hated them. So it's a good thing that you hated that, okay? And He says, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I'll give the right to eat from the tree of life. And just I've had a concern that I said to God, I think when we came as elders together the other night, I said, God, and Grant was just asking, because now we're trying to figure out what is the Lord doing in us as the church, but we're in four different services. So it was like a challenge, like, what is God doing? And we're trying to figure out. And I said, man, I loved how us as a church rallied together, and we're going to stand for the Lord, and we're willing to pay the price, and we're going to not be influenced by man, but we're going to obey God rather than man. And I said, but I'm concerned that our love for the Lord is growing cold. Just simply being in awe of Jesus again. Right? I don't know if you this week somewhere woke up and you're just like, I just want to be with Jesus now. I would just love to be with God. To be honest, I did not. I'm just being real here, okay? This week, it was a logistical nightmare for this to happen, okay? And for me and Leanne, okay? And there were times where, like, really, I just did what I had to do, and I knew it's right, but it wasn't out of a love for the Lord in my heart. And I could feel something is, like, dying inside of me. And I feel for us as a church that God is calling us back. Doing the right thing is great, but it's about the love that He's calling us back to. Is our worship out of a love, or is it because it is our right? Yeah. You guys with me? And so, and I think, here's what I want to encourage you, and we've all been part of Josh Jen for a while now, okay? But Josh Jen, for me, has always been marked by not the greatest musos, not the greatest preachers, not the greatest venues, not the greatest sound, but people had a love for the Lord. That was always evident. I don't know about you when you came in, but I remember when our first gathering, I was part of Wellington and our whole church joined Josh Jen. And the first gathering I went to, I stood there and I was like, yes, these people love God. Yeah? I don't know if you guys had the similar experience. Okay? I was like, these oaks know what it's to love God. And I was like, that's what we were born from, man. It's not to have everything in place. That's why I said to Leanne at the stage, okay, listen here, we're going to pull the trigger and let's see what happens, okay? It's not about having everything in place and everything is running smoothly, but can we love God passionately again? And so I want to look at today, how do we love Jesus? Because in the modern church, there's a lot of talk often about how much God loves us. And it's true, okay? The fact that we did communion this morning, it was a great price that the Lord paid for us. It is, the Bible is full of God's love for us. Okay, you guys with me? And whatever you hear, and even when people minister prophetically, it's 99% of the time, it's like, God loves you so much. Okay, and I think if we have to rate God's love for us this morning, I think many of us would give it a 10 out of 10. You guys with me? All right. But I wonder if we can ask the Lord this morning, how much would He rate our love for Him? What would He give us as a church? And then about us as individuals, how much would the Lord say, they love me passionately? Not just doing the right thing, but love. Love. It's coming out of, that shouldn't be this heavy. I want to stir you, okay? and even the greatest commandment in the Bible is not that God will love you with all His heart and all His strength and all His mind. It's actually you. Love the Lord with all your heart. And not obey God with all your heart. You with me? Don't with all your heart do the right thing. Or with all your heart come to church every week. It says, but love God. Love Him. And so, I wonder if who of you have heard about the five love languages before? Okay? Now, they always encourage married couples or whatever, figure out people's love languages. It's better for you to know your spouse's rather than your own's, okay? So I want to look a little bit about it this morning. It's like, what is God's love languages? Because if you sometimes like, I want to love Him, but it's hard. Like, how do I show my affection to Jesus? So a couple of years ago when we came onto eldership, there's this form that we had to fill in, like a super in-depth questionnaire thing for Andrew that he just wants to, like, it's almost like a soul searcher, okay? So we back then, spouses had to do it together. And so now, I think, did we just get back from Russia? Yes, I got the email while we were in Russia, and it had to be in the day, like, when we came back. So we overtired, we landed, and I think the next morning I said to her, okay, babes, we quickly need to do this form. And so they start asking all these questions or whatever. And then there's this one question that they have answered together. How would you rate your marriage? Okay, and that's often our most fast starts. Okay, so I of course said, Mariska is definitely going to give it an 11 out of 10. I mean, because it's amazing. I mean, so definitely. And I was like, look, I want to leave some room for improvement. So I said, babes, I'll definitely give it a 9 out of 10. We're doing well. And she said, I think maybe a 7. And so at least it wasn't a 2. But so then overtired brains, the biggest conversation starts, why? Okay, and that's the next wrong question, okay, so just ignore it and move on. But then we had this massive thing of why, I don't know if you can even remember that, babes, no, okay, I'm pulling a leg, she gave it a 10 out of 10, I was the one who gave it less, I'm joking, no, I can't remember what happened, but they suddenly this, like, why aren't we giving it both a 9 or a 10 out of 10, okay? And I realized it's probably because the way that when I'm feeling the love, doesn't necessarily mean that she feels the love. And vice versa, okay? Just because I feel well cared for and that everything is running smooth in this house, doesn't mean that she feels that I'm giving enough time or that I'm giving enough gifts or whatever. You guys get me, okay? All the married couples just say yes, okay? And, amen. Okay, don't agree that loud there. Sorry, now there's a fight in this house afterwards again. I'm joking. And I realized, for me, like, Mariska is great at doing, like, acts of service, okay? She would always, like, at least 10 times a day, I think she's asking, can I make you something to drink, which is great, okay? Like, you see, there's always tea and always coffee and whatever. But my giving gifts is a 0 out of 10, okay? I have absolutely no interest in giving anyone a gift, okay? So, also, like, my worst attribute as leading this church is I suck with birthdays, okay? So if you had a birthday in the last year, happy birthday. I'm so sorry. Like, I honestly, I'm not joking. I woke up one morning and I forgot my own birthday. It's not a big deal for me, okay? I took someone to the airport and halfway through, I started getting messages like, hey, happy birthday. It's like, well, you are, okay? It's like, so birthdays aren't for me a big thing. She digs gifts, okay? And so, yes, you do. Don't say no. You like it, okay? And so it doesn't need to be big, but just something that you thought about me throughout the day, you know? Now, therefore, she would probably rate it a little bit less on a scale to 10, how we're doing. And anyway, I'm going off the track here, okay? The point is, just because I often feel love doesn't necessarily mean that that's how she receives it. Okay, and I thought, I have everything covered, man. There's always electricity, taking the rubbish bin out, like getting everything sorted about us. I care for you. It's like, that's not the point. Do you love me? Okay, and all the husbands sitting like, okay. And so I wonder this morning, just because even taking communion, I was like, how great is the love of God for us? Okay, but more than that, I think I want him to hear this morning that how great is our love for him. Like that he must feel it. I want God to feel loved this morning, and not only this morning, but in our walk with him. Amen. And so, here's what I want to encourage you this morning. This message is not to tell you to do more. Okay? This is not to tell you to try harder. This is not to have more of your attention. That's really not what it's about. But I'm going a little bit more practical than what I would normally do. Okay? But it's like I want to give you tools in your hands on how do we love God properly. How can we make God feel loved, all right? And so, I'm gonna read this. You know, the one thing is also not forcing you to do more, but Acts 2 that we always read, it says, they devoted themselves. They gave of themselves. No one had to send WhatsApp reminders to them, say, remember to love God this morning, okay? Remember to give. There was a time where, I mean, there was nothing, I don't know how they did it, but it says that all the saints just gave of themselves because they genuinely loved God. I mean, I can't go into all of it. We're running out of time this morning. Okay? But there was a time when the church just started. I think people left their jobs to be in homes daily because they were so in awe of the Lord. And they loved God. They gave everything. And 1 John 4 says this, we love because he first loved us. I'm calling us this morning not as an act to try and soothe our conscience, but we really love him because he first paid a great price for us. It's because he loved us that we can love him this morning. Amen? And so the first one that I want to encourage us. The first way, and it's not necessarily the main one, but I think it's a key one, on how we can love God and what is His love language, is to obey His commandments. The Bible's full of it. He loves it. Carlitz always says, God's love language is obedience. It is. Okay? He loves it when we obey Him. why are you laughing at me, Brent? We're laughing at Carlitz. Okay. Anyway, but John 14, verse 23 says, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, and my Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with them. Verse 21, it said this, I read it this morning, says, it's basically the same scripture, same verse, but then he says, if anyone, my Father will love them, and I will reveal myself to them when we obey him. Isn't that beautiful? He says, just by you loving God and obeying His commandments, He says, I will reveal myself to them. Well, it's not on there, okay. Then Acts 5, verse 32, it says, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey Him. How's that? So, and when I read that, that was quite a challenge for me trying to understand that. There's something of like an outpouring of God. Poof, and we can pray for people and the Holy Spirit comes. And then He says, but the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey Him. Yeah. And I want to, it's okay, George, a few scriptures on today, thanks. And I want to urge us, if you want like almost a continual remaining of God with you, obey Him. Obey Him. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey God. You with me? And so, I don't know what it looks like for each one of us, because I think, thinking of the commandments, like I always, when I was young, I said, well, I don't kill anyone, I don't steal. Those are the Ten Commandments, okay? But there's so much more than that, okay? And I think if I can, I hope so, but probably in the last week, the Lord has spoken to all of us about something. Yeah? It can be big or it can be small, but there was something we felt the nudge of the Lord for that. And the key there is, yes, Lord, okay? Not because I just want to do the right thing, but I want to love you. There was going sidetrack a little bit here, but Thursday evening at worship practice, it was quite a spontaneous night. And then it came a prophetic song that I felt the Lord said. He says, you keep bringing me sacrifices to ease your mind. He says, but it's actually your heart that I want. And when I sang that, but when I heard it, I was like, yo. Okay? Where the Lord almost like just, don't bring me a sacrifice because you just want to ease your mind that you're doing the right thing. It's your heart that I want, man. That's what I'm looking for. In 2 Chronicles, there's a story also about a guy, one of the many, I can't remember his name, okay? But his dad did everything right in the eyes of the Lord. He walked in the ways of God. He was a good man, okay? And then he says his son came, and he also did the same thing his father did, except he didn't love God. How's that? And actually, the Lord despised him. He did all the right things. He didn't lead the guys into idolatry or whatever he says, but he did it out of service and not out of love. And I want to urge us this morning as a church, and let us not get caught up in the moment of standing for the Lord. It's great. We're going to do it, okay? Like, we're going to run. We're going to shine bright for God. But let it be out of love like we did it first. Amen? Number two. The second way that God really feels love is intimate worship. He digs it, okay? God, and I love it too, okay? But there's something of a confessing our love for one another, okay? Like, in this marriage, okay, if I told my wife, listen, I could feel gesê by die troue, ek is lief vir jou, I'll tell you if it changes, okay? For the English people, I've heard people say, like, I told you at the wedding day that I love you, I'll let you know if it changes, okay? That is not a good motto, all right? I can... I can guarantee you there will be marriage issues along the way. There's something of continually, I don't know how many times a day, but we every day tell one another, yes, I love you. No one else? Okay? Like, we have to do this, something of continually confessing our love for one another. And the Lord loves that. Like, I think there needs to be something of a confessing our love to the Lord continuously. Né? And then one story that I'm reminded of is in Luke 7, 37. It says, a woman in that town who lived a sinful life. Now, it's so beautiful about that is she didn't have everything sorted by the time she came to love God. It says about a woman who lived a sinful life. That's all of us, actually, all right? Learned that Jesus was eating at a Pharisee's house, so he was with the holy people, all right? And so she stood there with the alabaster jar full of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured out perfume on them. Loving Jesus. Intimate. Okay. Now, you must imagine this lady, she was a prostitute. It's like coming into church, and she knew she's going to be judged. All right. She knew it. Okay. And she came and she said, I just want to pour out intimate worship at Jesus' feet. And he says, therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And I think sometimes for me personally, and I think it might be many of us here in this boat this morning, I wasn't that bad growing up, okay? I wasn't saved. But I've never been drunk, okay? I'd never had sex before we got married. I've never been into drugs. I've never touched a cigarette. I've lived a good life, okay? And sometimes there's been moments where it's like, look, Barry needed salvation, okay? I'm joking. He needed Jesus. But I was pretty holy anyway, okay? Okay, I think, who have you thought about it like that before? You look at someone else like, yes, you needed Jesus, okay? But I wasn't that bad. And you know what it did? Is it caused me to love God little because I thought it was okay. And I met a friend of mine who discipled me when I was in Wellington, Kala. And he needed Jesus, okay, in my eyes. But you know what? He often said, I know how much I've been forgiven. There's no fruit for me to stand on. I needed Jesus and I love him much and I can see it in his life. And sometimes I think I need to remind myself that I wasn't all that holy. Okay? That it was I needed the same blood and the same body to be broken for me because I was going to hell. And sometimes I need to ask the Lord, remind me how much I needed salvation. And then it's like, yes, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to say, like, I think the biggest challenge for us with intimate worship is don't wait for a Sunday or a Wednesday to come and pour out your love to God. There's something of that can be so sweet to just any moment where you are. Can we just love God spontaneously? Or do we need to wait for someone to pick up the guitar and now we can worship? Interesting, tonight at the service at the hotel, we don't have a worship leader. Yeah? And I said to Mike, it's okay. We need to learn how to just love the Lord within ourselves without someone necessarily leading us. It's great. And I love leading worship, okay? But can we love God just spontaneously to say, Lord, we love you? Can we do it now? Just say, God, we so love you, Lord. If not for you, where would we have been, Lord? Pray that you will hear the cry of our hearts this morning, that our desire is to please you, to love you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus, we love you.